Hello again, and welcome back to level 17 of the Bonus Level Podcast. I, of course, am Jack, and joined, as usual, my co-hosts, Josh and Luch. And we have another great episode for you this evening, right? You guys there?
Yeah, buddy.
I like to think so.
Oh, yeah. We like to think that we're here. We like to think that it's entertaining. But tonight, we're going to be talking about fear. And fears and phobias and challenges and overcoming those challenges and fears and rationalizing things that maybe each one of us is afraid of, right? But before we do that, I'd like to take this time to ask Luch how his day was.
Well, I worked and I got home about an hour ago.
You know, I'm going to stop asking you, I think, because...
Well, you wanted it's almost to like know.
It's almost like I could cut and paste your answer from the previous episode. Every time I single you out and ask.
I woke up. I had 3 strips of turkey bacon. I had 2 over-easy eggs. I had coffee with Splenda and fat-free French vanilla creamer. Okay. Then I got dressed. Okay. I wore Perry Ellis boxer briefs. And I got in my car and I went to work for about, 8 hours, 9 hours. And then I got home. I had very nicely seasoned fajitas with a garlic Worcestershire sauce. It was heavenly. Okay.
Worcestershire.
And I got on my computer.
Okay. All right. So that was that. I like that description. But next time I'm going to ask you to make something a little bit more spicy up. Like I woke up, I was getting fajitas. Ready. I was getting ready for work. I was driving, and then on my way, this black van just pulled up in front of me. The side door slid open, and these guys with M16s just started shooting at my car, and we had to just make a,
That was the other guy.
Okay.
But I will say, though, last night there was a high-speed chase right outside my house. That was
really
cool. Yeah, there was like this what do you call them? The little like box looking cars, the ones that look like were made with
like the Kia Souls, the ones that had the
More boxy ones, the Scions. Cube?
Oh, the Scions.
The Scions. It was just Scions, you just see it go past with like 5 like police cars just chasing it.
Interesting. It was that one of those things where you were watching TV and then you saw
my
it
choice
in real
of
life.
Cars.
Yeah. Yeah, no, not the best getaway car, but they were going forever. They were just like zigzagging through the neighborhood.
Nice. Well, that, you know that they like those high speed chases. They end up not going like aggressive on the people because there's too many like civilians and cars and property and stuff like that.
Especially
around.
In neighborhood. But what makes you think you're going to get away? That's the only thing I want.
Well, you're never going to get away. It's just not going to happen.
You're just making things worse for yourself.
Yeah,
well,
and there's way too
delaying the inevitable. Just... But at the same time, if you stuck a gun in someone's face and you go, "Do you want 10 more minutes to live," they're gonna go, "Yeah, please," and I mean that's
we don't even know what the guy probably had like maybe like a roach in his car and then like his rear light was out or something stupid. I guarantee you
it's definitely possible. I don't know.
And then he just makes it worse for himself, but either way, like I mean, in today's day and age, you have to pull some really funky something would have to be really funky. You're never going to outrun them because there's just way too much technology as far as like tracking you. As soon as they get a helicopter in the air in Florida, like where are you going to hide? It's not like you can, like where are you going to go? Everything's flat. Like they can see you. You're not going to get away. And then you stop the car and you get out and run. That's what you always see on cops. That's my favorite. They're like helicopters overhead. There's cops chasing you from all different angles. The guy's running. He like swerves and crashes into like a neighborhood, like into a fence. He opens the door and then he just gets out and starts running, right? And then the helicopter is above him with a giant spotlight the size of like a house on top of him. And you just see him just hopping and running over fences. He trips and falls through some laundry. There's like 6 cops on foot behind him. And then like three houses down, he's tired of jumping over fences and he's just laying face first in the grass with his hands on the back of his head, and like the spotlight can just see the whole neighborhood at once, and you're just like, okay, you're stupid.
Makes sense.
Now just never be that guy. If you're listening and you have thoughts about being that guy, don't be that guy. Just turn yourself in. It's not worth it. Speaking of that, though, speaking of fears, maybe that man that was in the high speed pursuit, maybe he had a fear of tight spaces and he didn't want to go to jail.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, or be confined in the back of a car. Oh, or, I mean, if you're going to jail, you're going to. I mean, like, there's no reason to.
Well, now he's definitely
run.
Going to jail. Or he's
that's
dead.
What I'm saying. There's no reason to run unless you're going. You think you're going to jail, right? I mean, why else would you?
Or he was
if you
just
didn't
hopped
think
up on
that
like,
the outcome. Pop. Well, if you didn't think the outcome was going to be jail time, you know what I mean, or something that serious, why run from the police?
They're stupid.
You know? Even as something as stupid as you know drinking while driving, right? Mm-hmm. Like very rarely you'll have those people like cognitively try to run away. Now, one, they're drunk and they can't think better, like think any, you know, of anything outside of the fact that they're wasted and they think like, oh no, I'm good. But at the same time, like even something like that, you know, you get a DUI. Yeah, it sucks, but like it's a fine. You lose like your license. It's not, you're not going to jail. You're not like your life isn't ruined. Right.
Yeah.
So you're not going to run away from the police for something like that. At least I don't think so. Unless something else is. You know, definitely.
I know a DUI can mess you up pretty bad on your record.
Yeah, it can, but at the same time, it's not like you're going to jail for years. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, repeat offenders end up in jail. I know some, you know, people that have had multiple DUIs that you end up in jail or probation and things like that. Yeah. But you're not going to jail if it's your first offense, unless it's like really bad. Maybe you were drunk and you like, you know, hit some cars, or you know, God forbid, you hit a person.
Yeah.
Then you can definitely go to jail. But so fears. So we're going to be talking about fears and phobias and obstacles and overcoming them and what we have done in some of the fears or obstacles in our own lives. And then talking about some interesting and things. I was actually kind of not so, I guess I wasn't really surprised, but it's interesting to look up different phobias, right? Mm-hmm. Things that people are actually legitimately afraid of. And the difference between a fear and a phobia is something that's irrational, right? For the most part. Like it's going to be something that's like, for instance, like arachnophobia. Everybody knows that one. A fear of spiders.
Yeah.
Even though spiders are everywhere, it's pretty much an irrational fear because for the most part, they're not going to, like they're not out to get you, right?
Wouldn't you call like the arachnophobia a like severe fear of spiders, like because I think like
oh yeah no for sure
population would go yeah I don't fucking
I don't like spiders.
And, yeah they creep me out and that kind of thing. I think that's how a majority of people are, but these are people that you know have the panic attacks. They get sweaty and you know white and shake and can't function properly.
Yeah, I mean like the actual phobias. Or that's like when your mind and body shut down based on mm-hmm. the anxiety that you're suffering. Like that's the kind of thing that like you're having this phobia, or you know maybe like you said, like the fear of spiders is generally like people just don't like creepy bugs in general.
Yeah.
But it doesn't cause them not to function. They see a spider, they go ah, and they try to squish it, and that's that. You know what I mean? But yeah, like exactly. People with arachnophobia literally can't function. They will like freeze up if they see a spider. They can't do anything. You know what I mean? And it's just like they're.
I don't like spiders. I'll do everything I can to avoid them.
I don't mind them. Yeah, I don't mind them. But that's it. But so we need to make sure that we're separating these two things. So a fear of something and a phobia of something are two very different things, right?
Yes.
Obviously connected, but they are two separate reactions. So something that you're afraid of can range from all different things. It can be. You know, something like your fear of rejection. Everybody has that, you know, especially whenever you're, you know, young, you know, growing up, you know, you like somebody and you don't want to tell them, you have a fear of rejection, or not even in that specific, you know, realm only, but then, you know, whenever you're older and you're in your workplace, you don't want to be denied for a promotion or a transfer or getting a job in an interview. And a lot of people have these, you know, anxious feelings based on things that they're afraid of what might happen. So the fear of the unknown, right?
Yeah.
And then again, on the flip side of that, like the phobias, like some people literally can't do, you know, interviews, like things like social interaction, like they literally can't do them. you know, that they shut down completely. And so I kind of wanted to talk about those, and then maybe if any of us have any phobias, but also, you know, what we've done to overcome certain kinds of fears or obstacles for that matter. Yeah. So Luch, what are you afraid of?
Well, I don't like spiders. Yeah, they creep
but you
me
don't
out,
have arachnophobia. You don't have arachnophobia though, right?
No, I don't really have like a phobia. I don't break down at the sight of anything. Okay. But like if I was to give like, yeah, I don't like spiders at all. Like the ones that like I freak out, like, you know, the ones that like, you know, you're getting up late and you want to go grab a drink from your fridge and then all of a sudden you like wipe your eyes and then all of a sudden there's one dangling in front of your face. So then I'll get one of my really nice books and then I'll open it up and then I'll just blast.
Yeah.
And I'll never open up that book again or I'll throw it away.
Okay, that's a little extreme, I think. Whenever you see a spider though, do you have a emotional reaction of fear? Or are you just like, ugh, I don't like spiders, you know? Because like fear, the emotional...
They make me very jumpy. If I was
okay. Think about, when was the last time you felt afraid?
Oh my God, dude. This spider, like right outside like my door. Dude, this thing was massive. It literally made a web the size of my door in front of my door. You ever played The Legend of Zelda?
Yeah.
Yes.
Ocarina of Time. You remember those freaking spider skulls that would hang out in front of the door and you had to slice them with your sword?
Mm-hmm.
It was just a little bit bigger than that one.
Okay.
This thing was massive.
So were you...
But the scary thing is, it would only come out at night. And then when it was gone in the morning, its web was gone.
Yes.
And I was like, bro, this is the tidiest spider ever. This thing's got it. Freaking... This is the Tony Stark of spiders, bro.
But so can you honestly say you were legitimately scared?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Dude, like when I would like avoid that thing. Oh my God, dude. Oh my God. And this another spider, I was like dropping Jamie off at work, right? And it was super early in the morning. Okay. This is like when I almost like ran out of my car. So there's a spider crawling up the windshield, right? And you know how like you ever look at a spider that's crawling in your windshield and you wonder if it's outside or inside? And so you lean closer.
Yeah.
I'm like, is that so? It was inside and I was freaking out. I was like, oh my God. My hands are on the wheel. I am driving, right? I'm like, Jamie, you need to squish this thing. It's getting closer to me, right? So this thing's crawling up the windshield closer to me, right? And it's about to go over my head. And I'm like, Jamie, take off my fucking sandal. You got to beat this thing, man. I can't. And then I'm like, Jamie, I'm pulling into like this left turn lane so I could stop. And as I'm stopping, the thing drops. Right, and so my mind goes blank and I'm freaking out. I'm like, oh man! So I let go of the wheel and I step on the brakes and I'm like patting myself down. I get out of the car. Right, this is like 6 o'clock in the morning on US 19, by the way. And and I was like, yeah, no, that was not a good time for me.
Okay, so you were legitimately scared, fearful.
Oh, and it was the smallest spider too, but I couldn't.
Do you think that? Okay, so my next question to you is: do you think that that's a rational response, or is that irrational?
Oh, that's rational.
Is it? Because I know. So think about it, right?
I don't know if that's like a brown recluse, bro. That could have been the spider that gave Spider-Man his powers, and like all, you know.
Wouldn't that be a good thing?
I would love that.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, did you see how painful it was in the movie? It was all like.
I mean.
Oh my.
Okay. So
I mean, I would love to wake up and I got like a six pack and like.
Exactly.
All right, Josh has a good story about spiders for you.
Yeah, don't even tell me about that Black Widow, man. I don't want to hear it. Okay.
No, that's the story for the listeners. Since we're talking about spiders.
Have I already told Luch the Black Widow story?
Bro, we've been best friends since like kindergarten. I was there when it happened.
Yeah. For our listeners,
no one
go ahead.
Was there. Okay, so this was back... let's see. I was 19 years old, so it's been a long time. I was at my parents' house. They were going to be flying out of town for their 25th wedding anniversary. They're going to Hawaii. And so they asked me to help out with some yard work and stuff before they went out of town. One of the things that they needed was they had bags of dirt and bolts delivered that were they had them piled up on the driveway, and they needed them put down under the porch in the basement. So I'm just throwing bags of dirt up on my shoulder, taking them downstairs, dropping them off, coming back. And so I throw it up on my shoulder, and I feel something kind of like a little pinprick or something. And so I drop the bag, and I look, and with the bag there runs a little spider, and it stops for a second. I lean down, I look real close at it, and sure enough, it was a black widow spider. Oof. And so,
by the way, you're talking to Josh's ghost right now.
So I go inside and I go, Mom, I was like, can you take a look at my neck? I'm like, I'm pretty sure I got bit by something. And she goes, yeah, it looks like there's a little mark there. She goes, what was it? Like a yellow jacket or something. And I was like, I'm pretty positive that it was a black widow. I said, I dropped the bag of dirt, just saw it scamper off. I said, I'm pretty sure it was that. I was like, it wasn't, because I mean, I live in and have grown up in the South, so I've been stung by wasps, hornets, scorpions, mm-hmm. you name it. I've had
I don't
it.
Go outside, so I don't.
And those things are intense, where if you get stung by a scorpion or a wasp, you know freaking immediately that you got stung and what the hell it was. Like, that's such a jolt of pain into your body. With the Black Widow, it wasn't that way. It was so light. It was, I had to question if it was like, you know, almost like little sticks or like a splinter sticking out of the bag that had poked me on the neck when I threw it up on my shoulder. So, you know, my mom, of course, is not sure whether to take me seriously because I was kind of an asshole back then, and I love practical jokes, especially as you guys, I think, have all watched Viva La Bam.
Yeah.
I wasn't to that extent, but I enjoyed doing that kind of stuff a lot. So
I want to play a joke on my mom real quick. I'm going to take this sewing needle and jab it in my neck and then tell her I got bit by a black widow.
That would be a prank that I would have done at that time. Oh my God, and so I was very much the boy that cried wolf. So we end up, my parents take me to the hospital, and, you know, they're checking me out and everything. And they're like, you know, how do you feel pain wise? And I guess, you know, like a 2, like, I don't feel bad at all. Like, I can feel my neck, you know, tingling a little bit, kind of like you would with, you know, a bee sting or something like that later. But I'm like, it's not bad at all. And we probably sit in the waiting room for 2, maybe 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they just check back on me every 30 minutes, stuff like that, you know, waiting to get a room for you, all this kind of stuff. Finally, they take me back to, it's one of those things where you're sitting on a gurney and they had the sheets between rooms, mm-hmm. where you're not actually in your own room or anything. Yeah. So I'm in one of those, and the pain's starting to intensify quickly. And for those that don't know, with black widows, they the way that they kill their prey is they make all the muscles in their body constrict, contract, like you're having a Charlie horse. So basically, it's hard to breathe because everything, every muscle in your arm, your finger, your toes, your legs, you know, your lungs, everything is super, super tight. So the way that they counteract that is they give you muscle relaxers, and they're just coming in, sticking needles in my arm, going, shoot me with something, going, is that working? No. It's like, they come back and they're like 5 minutes later, like, all right, how do you feel? It's like, really fucking bad right now, you know? And so they stick me with something else, come back 5 minutes, you know, how you feeling? Still really fucking bad. This goes on for, I don't know, 30 minutes or so. They come in and stick something in my arm, and my whole body, like, I felt like I just melted into the gurney that I was on. Like, my whole body just relaxed. It was like a balloon deflating. And I was like, whatever the hell that was, freaking remember it. And they stuck that in an IV that would just drip into me continuously for the next 18 hours that I was in the hospital. And they were, you know, filling me up with anti-venom and everything. And here I am, alive and well. The only thing is
that 12 years later, you know, his heroin addiction just grew so much from that time.
Dude, so I do have a story about that. But I was going to say, the only thing that you'll notice about me that's different now is down the right side of my neck where I got bit, it looks like I have almost razor burn, like a shaving burn or something, but it's where all the blood vessels in my neck popped from the constriction and everything. But
now every night on a full moon, he turns into one of the sexiest Marvel superheroes of all time.
Yes.
Yeah. So the thing is that if somebody is listening, and hopefully nobody that's listening right now currently. If somebody is listening that has arachnophobia, you know, hears that story, they're going to have the same reaction to, you know, if they were living it, right? I mean, that's the kind of thing that's why I wanted to tell that story is because, and I hope that nobody does have that and they listen, because if you did, I'm sure you stopped it and you didn't keep listening. Something like that's a trigger for you. You know what I mean? Like you hear something like that and you just like,
yeah, but I mean, like when I tell it, the spider's in the story for just a second. Then most of it,
it doesn't matter,
talking about my experience in the hospital. Writing like I would almost think that if you have a fear of hospital and needles, like dude, the amount of shots that I got was insane. I mean, it was constantly just stabbing me with needles, trying to figure out which muscle relaxer worked. I got stabbed so many more times from that than, you know, the spider and everything. The spider was gone within the first 20 seconds.
Right, but it's still the anxiety of like knowing that something that small that you can't see can do something like that to you. You know what I mean? So
it makes me wary walking into like now. I mean, if anyone followed me on Instagram, and you can go find my old stuff, I had a pet black widow recently. that was like my little buddy that hung out with me behind my old job, and she was in the trash can, and I would smoke cigarettes back there. She'd hang out and we'd take videos together and stuff and make music videos. It was fantastic.
Just let it crawl all over you and let it sit on your shoulder.
That was the thing. We had a healthy respect for each other. I would catch her little flies and I would rip off a wing and I'd toss it in there so she would be able to have food. And she never left her trash can. She stayed in there so that she spider's going to eat. If I don't feed it, it has to get out and hunt.
Dude, bro, you're freaking Hagrid from Harry Potter. Now all of a sudden that Black Widow is feeding on children in the middle of a forest because now it's massive.
I'm just saying,
upset the balance, Josh.
Knew where she was. I would seriously, I'd get to work, I'd tap the side of the trash can, she'd run to the top looking for me. I knew where she was at all times. Keep your enemies close.
Couple years from now, we're going to go on a camping trip, okay? Me and Jack are going to find this really old car, and we're going to drive it through the forest for some reason. We're going to come across a lot of webs. And then all of a sudden, you hear this voice. Is that you, Joshua? King of and then it'll just come crawling out. Friend of Joshua.
Yeah, he's gonna say friends of friends, and then he's gonna be like, I can't deny my children a good meal. We're like, wait, what?
And then all of a sudden our car's gonna come to life, and then it's gonna run because it's scared of spiders, and then Jack and I will be found a couple days later strung up and our corpses just bled out.
Sounds like what's going to happen. No, but we've gone off on this tangent of spiders, but it's a good example of something that's well known to be a phobia and a fear, right? So it's both.
Yeah.
Like you said, like Luch, you have a healthy fear of it. You said, you know, you're genuinely afraid, but I don't think that you have a phobia. A phobia would have caused you to have a car accident in that situation. You know what I mean? Like you wouldn't have been able to hit the brakes, move the wheel, like, you know, things like that. That's as the phobia goes. You know, saying that's more of like an extreme fear, and while that's just an example, I wanted to honestly. So, what do you have? What's a fear of yours? And I'm still talking to you, Luch. What's a fear of yours that is rational? So, something that you're genuinely afraid of. That's not you know, spiders. Again, it's a fear that I think everyone shares. I'm saying, like, what is a fear that you have in, and this could be something that's serious. It can be like, oh, I'm afraid of losing my job, or, you know, maybe I have anxiety about, you know, what I'm going to do in 10 years or whatever. What's a fear that you have in that regard?
Other than the inevitability that when I die, it will be nothing but the pitch blackness of void.
Well, if that's what you believe, I guess.
I'm just kidding, but you know, I don't know. Like, I don't got something like you know, your shark thing.
No, my shark thing is it's on the same lines as like a spider thing, you know. But I
so like when a shark's crawling up your windshield, you don't like.
No, but see, once we get to me, I have taken genuine steps to face my fears. So, but anyways, so yeah, that's why I'm asking you first, because I kind of want to get your insight on
what
something like that.
Oh, I don't like anything with eyes.
Okay. Okay.
Oh man, if you guys ever played like Dead Space, dogs, and they got like cats, the little needles.
This guy. All right,
like that,
all right,
go through your,
all right,
like,
Josh, we're skipping to Josh here, because I'm looking for something that is a more personal fear, because I want to talk about if it's something that maybe you used to be afraid of and now you're not, or something that you're still very anxious of, but then you...
I slept with a nightlight until I was like 17.
Okay, why?
Oh, because I was like scared of the dark.
Scared of the dark. Okay, that's a good. That's good. So just scared of the dark in general, or scared of what's in the dark? Or are those two things?
I don't know.
Related.
That was an irrational fear, because then once I like slept with like my door shut and the lights off, it was miraculous.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I was like the type of kid that would like crack his door open and then make sure like my dad was still in like the living room.
Okay.
And so I could go to sleep. When I was like,
what 10. About so when did you get over that though? Whenever you like grew up, or
oh, it was maybe when I was like
14, 15, young teenager. Okay,
yeah, 14.
So still, I'm talking about something that is, you know, so people still are afraid of the dark, and there's ways to overcome that, and there's ways to, you know, to try to get over these fears, over your phobias. A lot of people just can't face them, and therefore will always remain, right? They'll always remain fearful of them, and that's where the power is. So whenever you're scared of something, you're scared either because you had a really bad experience with that specific thing, or you're afraid of like the unknown, because you don't know what would happen if that, you know, whatever you're afraid of were to happen, or you're afraid that you're going to lose control and not have control of the situation. You know, people that are afraid of heights, they see, you know, they get up high and their body does weird things. They get dizzy and they feel like they're going to throw up. And so all of these things put together causes this, you know, this fear of being high, you know, and there's not really a way for them to overcome it, because whenever they do go to face it, their body reacts that way. You know what I mean? So the way that,
heights is definitely one.
Yeah, so in your situation, what do? You just don't go up high. You don't go places that are high, right?
Generally speaking, like I've gotten better. As a kid, it was pretty bad. Like, you know, I didn't like, you know, I mean, we've all seen those videos of the people on YouTube that will be on
crazy,
like really high stuff.
Absolutely
on the
crazy
edge of buildings and stuff, that it's just like your body wants to shut down. Like, you know, I've got to the point of being desensitized to that stuff, where, you know, I don't feel like I'm too different from the normal person when watching that kind of stuff now. But as a kid, that stuff probably would have really, really bothered me. But yeah, like now, I mean, and that's the thing, like, I don't know the last time that I really had to deal with being up high anywhere, because it's like, for the most part, it's, you know, I'm in my house, I drive my car, go to the grocery store, go to work, you know, like whatever. I'm not normally on something that's high. You know, but still doing, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I haven't really thought about it too much, because I haven't really had any situation that I've had to deal with it lately. But yeah, I'm not a big fan of heights, and I'm not sure what the, you know, the idea about it is. I don't know if it's the idea. I mean, because like, that's the thing, when I'm standing on the top, I'm not thinking of what it's going to feel like for my bones to crush when I hit the bottom. Like, I'm not thinking of breaking bones or anything. I'm thinking of the
falling,
the action,
right?
Of falling off the edge. Like, not even free falling, but like tipping over the edge is
just
the
like
action,
the feeling
that
initial head. Feeling
so like those roller coasters that like push you right over the edge, and like you look down and you just see nothing but the ground.
With those, and I've actually found a way that I can ride roller coasters and that doesn't bother me, but that's generally on what I can put my feet on. Where if there's something where I can put my feet on something solid, it doesn't tend to bother me as much. What bothers me more is the dropping feeling that I get in my stomach. That's something that I've tried to get used to with roller coasters, water slides, stuff like that. I don't like that feeling. It makes me feel more nauseous and gross than, I don't really have fun doing.
Yeah, I used to when I was a kid, I was scared of roller coasters and things like that. And then I just did one, and I was like, wait, why have I not wanted to do this? And I loved it. And
oh yeah, that was me in water slides. Took me a long time to go on my first water slide. My mom will tell you the story of me holding on to the side, crying, not wanting to let go of the side, and her telling the lifeguard to like mind his own business that she was taking me on the water slide, whether I liked it or not. I get down to the bottom and it's like, oh, that was actually really fucking fun. And now I love water slides. I still, the ones that just are complete straight drop downs, it's like, to me, is not. I like the like twisty, turvy, you know, getting wet, having fun, kind of splash around things instead of just.
You know what though? That's funny because that triggered an irrational fear of mine that I wasn't even thinking about. Yeah. I have an irrational fear of slides that involve tubes. Being inside a tube, and the thought of like. Like, for instance, in a water slide that has a tube, right? There's water coming down, and then you're going down, and it's twisty, turny, and there it's like completely surrounded. So you're inside. So you have that fear of like being closed in a place. And then, like, I always would think of like, what if, like, what if I like, like, somehow got twisted sideways and like, you know, got stuck sideways or upside down, or, you know, and like the water's there too.
Interesting.
And I never, like, I would always only want to do that if, like, the tube part was, like, a little, like, you know how they have, like, a little parts with, like, a roof? Just in case you're going, like, you're doing a twist and you go up too high up on the side. So there's, like, a roof part, and then you come back down and it's just a straight shot and there's no roof. Yeah, I would only do those ones. I could not do the ones where the entire thing was a tube. Like, you're going to go shoot down in this tube where the whole thing is just enclosed. No. Yeah. This is so funny because it's giving me goosebumps thinking about like being stuck in a tube with water.
No, I could see. I mean, being stuck someplace claustrophobic, I think, is a lot of people's fears, whether they realize it or not. I think when you get put in a situation where it's like, oh, wait, I can't breathe. I can't move. I don't like this. Like, I think just natural human like cognition is like, I don't like not being.
Well, people have that fear in relation to like an elevator, right? Because it's a tight, closed space. So people that are claustrophobic, they don't like any sort of tight space at all. Like, there always has to be a way out, like room to breathe, that kind of thing. But for me, like an elevator, it might be closed in four walls, but like, I know from watching movies that there's always an exit in the ceiling. Like, you can always get out of an elevator. You know what I mean? Like, so you're not really closed in. You can always open the doors and sneak out, you know? I will say that if you have a fear of elevators, you should have a fear of being stuck halfway down and then trying to climb out and the thing dropping while you're halfway out. That would be the ultimate. I would have an extreme fear if I was being rescued from an elevator and I had to do that whole like crawl through halfway. I would be like,
oh, there would be no crawl through. It would be, I'm getting a big running start. You just yank as soon as I'm halfway there. Like, you see me coming through, just yank. Like, it's not going to be like climbing through slowly.
It's like, all right, fireman, back up. I'm just going to come run and slide. And I'm just going to slide right on the floor. It's yanking through for sure.
Exactly. But no, I mean, when it comes to claustrophobic type things, I'm telling you, like, you grow up with a brother or a sister. Well, maybe if you're the only brother, then you maybe have done this to your sister, but getting rolled up in like a rug or something.
Oh no.
That right there, you don't realize how terrifying that is until you get rolled up in a rug and you're like, I can't breathe. I can't move. It's dark. This is terrible. Like, kids will think that that's really fun until it happens, and then you will hear
screaming
banshees, wailing, screaming of like, it unlocks something deep within like the human psyche of this is not good.
I thought
at
this
all.
Was going to be fun, but it is not.
Even if it started, it's all fun and games.
No, so that brings up a good point though, is that like, so part of one of the reasons for fear is past experience. You know, whether or not, like, you know, Josh, you would have a rational reason for being afraid of spiders. Like, you got bit by a black widow. You have, you know, marks to show, you know, you could have died potentially. Right. So you would have a legitimate reason for being afraid of spiders. Like, Lou, should you ever have any, like, you know, terrifying experience other than the fact that you just don't like spiders?
No, I just really, really don't like spiders. By the way, Chives is going to be looking up for something. So if you hear him in the background, that's Chives.
Okay. Chives, thanks for your, in advance for your help. Mm-hmm.
Well, no, so this is what's kind of interesting. And I don't know where, like, I feel like there's a very fine line because me going through my experience with the spider made me, like I said, I'm aware of the situation with them. If I'm in garages or basements, dark space, you know, stuff like that, I try to pay attention to things very closely. Like, I don't just, if I'm needing to get some tools out of the basement, I don't just blindly look there. I may grab the tool from the top, bend it away a little bit, take a glove and brush off some cobwebs, then pull it out completely and then go on about my business, where, you know, I may have been more lackadaisical beforehand. But after going through that experience now, I mean, like, if anyone goes on my Instagram and looks at me playing around with my spider, I don't have any kind of real fear of them. And I think it's, you know, the same kind of way of what you're talking about, the, you know, like, maybe like talking to girls or something like that, fear of rejection, where like any, you know, guy that's really good at that kind of stuff will just basically brush be like, yeah, you just do it enough. And all of a sudden, like, it doesn't bother you anymore. That's kind of how I feel about the spider. Like, I went through the trenches with it and I came out the other end and I'm fine. So to me, that actually helped with, I would think, a fear of spiders, because I mean, they're on the list of the top two deadliest.
Yeah, no, for sure.
One of them. And I didn't die from it. I'm perfectly fine. There's no brain damage.
That you can tell of.
My body functions perfectly fine. Like, yeah, right. So, I mean, to me, I think like the worst part of it was, oh my God, I have no idea how much money that would have cost. I think my parents told me it was something like $18,000. It was like $1,000 an hour for me to be in the hospital or something. It was something stupid. You know, luckily insurance and everything at the time, I was young enough that I was still on my parents' insurance that, you know, that took care of everything and helped out tremendously. But yeah, that's more of what I think about now. Like, oh my God, that hospital bill. Like, hell no, I would drown in debt trying to do it, that kind of thing.
That's more of what you're feared.
It's scarier than the freaking spider. I would rather, like, I think if I got bit by one, that I know that I had to take muscle relaxers. So I'd be calling up friends and going, hey, I need some like heavy duty muscle relaxers because I got bit by a spider and I'm not going to the hospital because fuck that bill. Like, you know, I'd rather like fight this on my own.
That's a irrational fear versus a normal adult fear, paying bills, being able to pay bills. No, so that kind of, you know, that's why I was asking your version versus like Lucia's afraid of spiders, but not really, it has a phobia of them, but didn't really have a reason to have a fear, just natural fear. Whereas versus yours, you have a reason to be afraid of them, but you aren't, right? Whereas like for me, one of my biggest fears is the like open ocean, you know, being in the open ocean and being attacked by a shark.
Yeah.
I just think that in my head is one of the most horrific ways to go. I mean, and of course there's plenty of others that you can think of that don't involve animals and all kinds of just terrible things, but a fear of being attacked by another animal, eaten and drowned is just an overwhelming, you know, gripping. And I don't think that I have a phobia of sharks because I don't get that like clammy body shut down when I, you know, watch Jaws or shark movies or go to the beach or things like that. But I also know that I have a very healthy fear that if we were on a boat in the open ocean, it would be very hard for me to jump in the ocean and have fun swimming around, snorkeling, like those kinds of things. It would be very, very hard for me because I would be constantly looking left, right, behind me, up, down, just constantly looking and expecting to see that shadow, that fin or the shadow like circling. You know what I mean? That's what I would constantly be looking for. Now, on the flip side of that, I live 5 minutes from the beach. I live 5 minutes from the, you know, the open water of the Gulf of Mexico, right? To which there are thousands and thousands of sharks in the water there. I mean, you can view the coast of Florida on the west and east from helicopters, from drones, and just see sharks in the water right off the beach. Like, no big deal. And I've been pretty far out. I've walked past the little, you know, you and I were in the out past a little, you know, the little gully where you have, you know, it gets a little deeper and then it gets a little shallower. And, you know, after the fact, I find out that the little gully is actually like shark and stingray and like fish feeding. That's like the trough that they like, they go in between, where you can go out and stand a little bit, you know, further out, that's a little shallower. But then in between that and like where you swim is this kind of deeper trenchish where like all the sharks are, you know, they go up and down and like they're either out far or they're right there. And I went through that, you know, and just swam out. And then we were out there kind of far and, you know, I didn't think about it because I didn't know. But, you know, since then I've been back. I love the beach and I go and I make it a point to go out in the water and be like, I'm here. I'm out in a place where my feet don't touch. You know, there could be sharks anywhere, but like, I can't let that stop me from enjoying something that I love. Like, I love the water. By the way, you're also speaking to Jack. So I have this like, I have this like, you know, this two-sided thing, a tug of war. You know, whereas one part of me has this like, you're in the water where you could literally be taken out by your worst fear. And then the other part of me that's like, but I love the water and I'm not going to let my fear consume me to the point of like not enjoying something. So I think there's like this wrestling, right, going on. And I think that's important because that can be kind of looked at in a lot of different types of fears. Like even if it's something rational, like the fear of rejection, you can constantly look at that and go, well, I could take this action and be rejected. And that's so scary to me that I don't even want to do it.
Yeah.
Or you can say, well, what if I do it and it actually works? So the fear of being rejected and it not working and having that consume you overtakes and outweighs the possibility of like the good outcome that it could have, no matter what it could be, job, relationship, you know, whatever. You know, asking, you know, the server, the food handler at Chipotle for extra steak and like hoping that she doesn't write +2 on the top of the lid, you know, like not paying for extra steak. That's, you know, if you don't ask, you can't enjoy the benefits. But some people are afraid, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that it's very important to not only look at the possible benefits of facing the fear, like actually coming face to face with it if it's possible, but then like thinking about whether or not it's beneficial, like if you actually can get over it, right?
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying. Actually, this made me think, and I hopped on Amazon while you were talking about it because I had a time where I was at the beach, and I wouldn't say that I have anywhere near the same, I don't know. I mean, I don't think I had the same fear that you do of the open water. I mean, it's still, when I am at a place where, I don't know, I'd say it maybe 10 feet deep where you're not touching the bottom and you can't just bounce off the bottom.
Right.
Easy peasy. That my head's on a swivel, like, constantly right, left, you know, looking around. Like, I'm never just, hey, having fun, you know, happy go lucky out here. No, it's generally like, look right, look left, you know, do I see something moving? What's that over there? Like, you know, because most of the time when you're swimming, especially like in the Gulf, like the water's really clear, but you could see up to about what, 20 feet, and then it starts getting foggy.
Yeah, maybe. So 10, it's like, feet.
That's the issue. Because if you could see 40, 50, 60 feet, and go like, okay, I have a pretty good idea of what's around me. But the fact that it's like, I won't see this thing until it's up on top of me, that is definitely a very creepy feeling. But what I was going to say is I had, one of the times I went to the beach, one of my friends had a diving knife that he had ordered. And it's one of those that you would strap it to your leg. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that I put that thing, I strapped it to my thigh, went swimming, and I have never felt so confident, even though this knife is literally like you took one shark tooth out and stuck it on the end of a little stick and then handed it to me.
Yeah.
But just having that alone, just you didn't feel completely naked and helpless. Just that tiny little sharp object, you know, resting right there on my thigh. I was like, something happens, I can at least fight back. And I can tell you, I think I probably swam out deeper than I had ever swam out in my life just because of that little thing. That it was crazy how much confident a tiny little piece of metal could make you.
Yeah, and then,
we're now speaking to Josh's ghosts.
Multiple ghosts. No, and it's interesting too, because remember I said, like, you know, my fear that I have, that it never came from any sort of rational, like, I didn't have an experience where I was attacked by a shark, was close to a shark, or, you know, boat got tipped over.
I never fell off any cliffs as a child. Like,
yeah,
I
just, you just have a general fear of heights. And it's really interesting, you know, how closely the feeling of fear is to the feeling of adrenaline whenever you, like, when something's really, really, like, you know, mind-blowing. You know, that's why the people that really love extreme sports, they're constantly just doing this thing of, like, they're 1 second from death, you know, potentially just, like, they could just be done. And that rush of adrenaline, knowing that, gives them the energy that propels them to do it. Whereas on the same flip side, that same feeling of, like, 1 second from death to somebody can be how they feel in a phobia. You know what I mean? Where they're like, whereas, like, you know, that this handful of people that does, you know, things like skydiving and wind gliding and, like, all of this, you know, these crazy things, you know, they're 1 second from death, but they love it. And the people that have these phobias, they're 1 second from death in their mind and they can't move. They're literally, like, completely shut down. And I think that's very interesting how close fear is to the, you know, the rush of adrenaline that you get. So I just think that as far as, like, overcoming those kinds of things, overcoming the fears, and there's a million different guides. You can look up all different psychology reports and things like that.
Well, that was a funny thing. So, like, yeah, I mean, you mentioned the fact, as we were kind of rearranging things, and you mentioned fear. So I know I may seem very much like let's fucking wing it kind of guy, but I sometimes like to do my research. And so, like, I started to pull stuff up, and apparently no one on YouTube is afraid of anything because everyone on YouTube has a video about how they overcame all their fears. And here's how you can overcome all your fears in 30 seconds or less, or, you know, whatever. And I mean, I have seen a lot of things that basically talk about that the most successful way that they've been able to do is exposure therapy to whatever the situation is, just little by little by little. There's just some.
I am not going to put myself in front of spiders little by little to make my fear a go away.
Well,
that's how it can happen, though, because since systematic desensitization, I think is what you're getting at, Josh, right? I think it's like you're just slowly exposed to it more and more and more and more and more to the point of, like, you're just like, okay, I get it. Like, it's not going to hurt me.
Well, not because, I mean, there's people that are deathly afraid of snakes, and I don't know how you guys feel about them, but I mean, like I said, growing up in the South, I constantly had a snake that was not a pet that I got at the pet store, but it was something I found in the backyard that I put in a jar and I kept in my room.
Oh my God. What is up with you and these wild animals, Josh?
I did the same thing. I don't know what you did.
Yeah. Like, I'm a
when I was 12, I found this coyote and I brought it in. And it was so weird. My little brother went away from home and we were never able to find him.
But no, like with snakes, like you can find king snakes or garter snakes or whatever and play with them. And they are just so cool. Like, they'll just play around in your hand and stuff. And there is zero danger from them whatsoever that messing with something like that. But then at the same time, if you were to toss a rattlesnake at me, I'm getting the hell out of there because I understand the danger between the two. So changing it over from an irrational fear to a rational, because I don't think that there's any problem with being afraid of certain things or just knowing the danger of certain things. Like,
yeah, see, that's kind of where my spider thing comes in, because I also don't like snakes either. I don't know what's good and what's not. Well, not really good. I don't know what's bad and what's very bad. So, like, if I see a snake approaching me, I'm going to think it's a fucking anaconda, all right? That thing, it could be the smallest little garden snake that doesn't even have fangs. And I'm going to be like, get my rake right? Yeah,
right. But those things, so what you're saying, that's just ignorance because, and I'm not saying you're being ignorant. I'm just saying it's ignorant.
Oh,
to
no,
like,
I'm being ignorant.
No. It's ignorance to like the facts and to knowledge, because like, if you really wanted to, you could research snakes and what kind of snakes are in your area and what you could see, what they look like. I learned, like, when I was really little, I was always reading different books, and we were always going to the library, and I always had just different books on insects and different snakes. I learned super at a super young age, like what the difference between a venomous snake was and a non-venomous, like,
yep,
and what they look like, you know, like the shape of their heads, the shape, like how, where their eyes were on their head, like what their, you know, their fangs look like in comparison. I knew,
well,
what kind of,
you
what
had
kind
the
of
pupils, if they had like the circular pupils compared to like the cat's eye,
the slits,
looking,
right?
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. That would tell you if it was poisonous or not. Like the way that
if the head was arrow shaped, it was probably poisonous. Head,
exactly. Being knowledgeable, knowledge is power, children. Mm-hmm. We learned that from what, G.I. Joe?
So I want to go back on something because I can't get it out of my head. I keep picturing this in my mind. So Josh, you're telling us a story about this little tiny dagger that you brought into the ocean, right? And you swam farther than you've ever swam before. So like, I'm picturing like this little like animated story in my head, right? So you're like, oh wow, you know, like your eyes shine open and you feel like you could take on the world. You strap it down and you start paddling out. And then I picture like these group of sharks just sitting around a poker table at the bottom of the ocean, right? And they're just going, what you do? What you got, Donnie? And then there's like, guys, look up there. You see that human swimming out here? What does he think he's doing? And then they're like, oh my God, he's got a fucking Swiss Army knife attached to his ankle. What does he think he's going to do to us? And so they're like just swimming right underneath you, and they're just like laughing at you. Like, should we tickle him? Like, what should we do?
It's so funny how, I mean, so much of the fear, I think, is just really built up in your head, you know, because I remember that time being at the beach, what I think is very vividly. I mean, it could be all bullshit, but like, I mean, I remember feeling so confident being in the water, just going, I have this in case I need this compared. I mean, just the difference in being in the water without it and being in the water with it was just night and day. It was such a different experience for me. And then, I mean, I had probably talked myself up, man. I hope I see a fucking shark. That thing comes at me. Take it out with show who's boss. You know, like,
see, but then that's like how you get like, you know, killed though. Like that over that, you know,
overconfidence.
False confidence coming through you, and then you're like swimming out. All of a sudden, you get taken by the rapids. You know,
no, but
Josh is in the middle of the ocean, but he's like, it's okay, guys. It's okay.
I got a knife.
I got my knife.
Yeah.
I think that ultimately, so though, like that just proves that fear and the response that your body has and your mind has to it is all mental, right? And that's why they do things like the desensitization. Because if you can actually face what you're afraid of without triggering a physical reaction, you can change your mental reaction. I think that that's the thing, is that, I mean, most people, like I said at the beginning, you know, that have like a fear of heights, right? They get, they sweat and they get clammy and their stomach drops, and then they, you know, they get nauseous. And so when you have those bodily reactions, you can't not mentally be scared, right? Because like your body's doing one thing, your mind's gonna follow. Like you can't be like, oh, I feel swimming, like my head's swimming and I'm nauseous, but I'm like, I'm not scared of heights. Like, then what's your body doing? You know what I mean? Like, so so connecting those two things, and if you can get over the physical reactions that you have, you know, if I saw a shark and I was paddling out in the ocean, like, what would I do? You know what I mean? Like, would my body like just tense up where I wouldn't be able to swim? Would I just freak out and just, you know, splash as much as I can to get to like where, you know, wherever the boat is, or back to shore, you know, or hopes that I could outswim it. You know, I don't know, you know, I always said if I had a gun and there was a shark, I'd shoot myself instead of the shark, just on the off chance that if I shot the shark and he didn't die, and I'd be like, okay, well shit, I'm out of bullets. Yeah.
And then the shark, you know, the shark's swimming up to you. You know, you feel the overwhelming confidence coming from your 2-inch blade. You reach down for it at your ankle, and as you're about to pull it out, it slips.
Yeah.
And then it just drops.
And you just see it, because it's so small, it does one of those things where like, it's like floats back and forth. It doesn't just sink, it just like floats right above like a feather.
Oh, you're reaching for it?
Yeah. It's just like, loop, 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 loop. And you're just like, oh no.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's okay. It's okay. I got the scabbard.
Oh man, no, I wouldn't only have the little thing. I wouldn't be confident unless I had a spear gun. Or Aquaman trident.
Nuclear submarine, bro. All right. Fire torpedoes at that thing. I will go against a spider if I have a full hazmat suit on. Okay. I will do that.
Well, again, so just going back to the spider thing, so like I'm not necessarily afraid of spiders, but I have a knowledge of them and a healthy respect for them. So there's no spider, even if I know for a fact that it is not venomous, there's no spider that I'm just going to let it crawl around on my hand. You know what I mean? I'm never going to like go up to a spider and be like, here, little buddy, and just like let him crawl all over me. You know what I mean?
A tarantula?
No, not even a tarantula, because, and again, it could not even, it doesn't have to be venomous.
Bro, a tarantula? People who own those things are crazy, man. Have you seen those fangs?
I love tarantulas.
Have you seen eight-legged freaks?
No, that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, I think that they're awesome. In fact, yeah. I would probably even have a pet tarantula if I had like room and had like a nice aquarium and stuff. I think they're cool. Yeah. I think, you know, the ones that like burrow down in the ground and like come up, and I think they're awesome. My issue would be I would not be able to handle them because I don't want to pick it up. You know, I don't want to like touch it.
I watch the videos. Like, I'm fascinated by the spider feeding videos.
See, then you can't be. Then you there's no way that you have a phobia of them.
No, I never said I had a phobia.
Or even an intense fear of them, because you wouldn't be able to watch those. People that have like very intense fears, they can't even watch video. They can't even see those things. Like, they see a video of, you know, somebody like Josh said, that's high up in, you know, on a building. They can't watch it. They'll turn it off. They're like, I can't.
Yeah, but it makes me cringe when they reach their hand in there and like put their fingers in between like the tarantula and pick it up, mm-hmm. while the tarantula's got its like, you know, hands up, mm-hmm. and it's like, you better back off.
But on the flip side of that,
fangs come out and it just like wiggles them. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh my God, hell no, dude. Those things are as long as my finger. I am not going anywhere near one of those things.
On the flip side of that, though, like if it was a snake, like I handled snakes all the time when I was a kid, and maybe because I did that, I would have no problem having a snake and handling one. You know what I mean? But like a spider, mm-hmm. I never, even though I have a healthy respect for them, I'm not afraid of them per se, I would never go pick one up.
I don't know. Hell, I think after a while, I think, yeah, that's one of those that I think you
now
with a pretty fast exposure therapy. Where, like, you're in a place, they have a couple tarantulas, you know, the person there knows what they're doing. They're just letting it crawl across their hands. And they're just like, here, just stick your hand right next to mine. You hold your hand perfectly steady right next to his. It crawls across his, crawls right across yours, then right back on his. And you took, like, 2 seconds that it was on your hand and then it was gone. And you're like, oh, that wasn't too bad.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know. You know, yeah, like, maybe. And then again, that's going to be part of the desensitization. And I think that maybe after a while it would work. I mean, I had a bearded dragon at one time and I let him crawl all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Exactly. So. Yeah, see, bearded dragon's cool. But look, okay. So Josh says, like, spider crawling over my hand. First of all, I would never, ever, ever let my friend do that. First of all, I don't own any friends who own tarantulas.
I don't own any friends that have tarantulas.
I'm not a strong person, but I will slap. All right. And I will like, psh, okay, I will like slap that tarantula hand and it will go like right in his face and the tarantula will get so freaked out and like bite his face. But like, I am not. So like, that's like, oh man, I'm 12. I'm going to be sleeping over at my friend's house. He's got tarantulas, but they're in his cage. It's cool. And then I get woken up at 1 o'clock in the morning by my friend. Hey,
tarantula's
did you see where Goliath went? I'm like, who, Goliath? And then he's like, that's my Arabian red tarantula. And I'll be like, hell no. And then, that's when I'm like out of there.
And then
I'm
you
like,
roll up your sleeping bag and you're in your bag and you're on in the car on the way home, and then you just feel this little prickle.
See it crawling,
you see
right,
this little prickle just, like right down your arm while you're driving, and you're just like,
no, dude, it's just like crawling over my shoulder. Just like, I'm like, oh my God.
Bro.
Lord. But like, I could not, like, yeah, crawling over my hand and then like, see, I don't know. I couldn't. And like, you know, tarantulas, like, they're not the scariest looking ones to me, even though like they're the biggest. It's always like the really slimy, spiky looking ones. Like the orb weavers, even though I know they're like super docile, just those long pointy legs. Mm-hmm. And then they're just like, I'm like, oh my God.
The banana spiders, the ones that are like size of dinner plates.
That are always hanging out by your fence.
Mm-hmm.
and they're just doing nothing. Bruh. By the way, those are not banana spiders.
No, no, no. The ones in Florida are all orb weavers.
Yeah, but no,
I'm talking the actual.
So let me tell you about a spider story. This is a terrible. Like,
we're gonna call this this level spiders, eight legged freaks. Right?
So quick story. So I worked at Pensacola, at my college up there. I worked in the dish room, right? And there was breakfast, and there was a lady bringing bananas, right? And this feels so bad for this girl. She opens up this banana, right, ready to peel it and to chop it up. Just spiders.
Oh no.
Like, oh my god!
Like it had like a baby's like the babies were in it. They just poured out.
Babies were in there, and I was like, and it's the Brazilian wandering spider that's called the banana spider that hangs out in bananas. That's like the most like deadly spider on the planet. Mm-hmm. I'm like,
and then they burned the entire school down, and you can't even go there anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously that's why I don't go there anymore. I have to run away.
Burn it down. No, and I mean, that's obviously, it's a common, internet reaction, too. You see a spider, and it's like, okay, I guess you got to throw the whole town out, you know? Yeah. The whole thing, you just got to go down by the wayside.
See, let's say I get bit by a spider, right? I'm in Josh's situation. I do come with spidey powers, but it's not like I get, web slingers. I, am able to, talk to spiders.
Yeah.
Right? Kind of like Aquaman's thing, but I can, talk to spiders.
Kind of like Harry
Potter. If I'm walking by a spider, I'm really curious as to what their voices would be like, you know? And then controlling a spider via my thought, first of all, that'd be like the greatest spy tool ever. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then second of all, I'm really curious what a conversation with the spider would be.
They would sound like Herbert from Family Guy.
Hey, Mr. Neighbor.
I see y'all.
You wanna pass?
Get your sweet ass back here.
Oh yes. My god, I'm just thinking about that now. I'm just running in a dark hallway and there's a tiny little spider chasing. I'm a chase that sweet ass. Where do you think you're going?
That's exactly what it is.
No, the greased up deaf guy. There's the same voice actor.
You can't catch me. We can't catch me.
So since we're just continuing this spider trend for our fears, since it's like the underlying fear.
I can expand on this a little bit. I do have something
that, all right, well, just hold on 1 second. We'll get to the expansion, because I have one little fact, right?
Okay.
Or is it fact or fiction?
Ooh,
gotcha. That all daddy long legs have the voice of Morgan Freeman, because they always just sit in the corner.
Yes.
And there he was, looking down at him.
So there's one fact that says that at no point ever are we more than 10 feet from a spider at all times. That's how many spiders there are in the world.
Don't. Oh my God.
It's too late. But then there's another one. There's another fact or fiction. Well, yeah, it's up for debate, and that is that the average person swallows over 52 spiders in the course of their life.
No. I've heard that one is fake.
Yes, so it is that, and that's why I wanted to bring it up, because it's something that people were like, oh, well, you know, if you're talking to somebody that is is four spiders that you shouldn't be afraid of them. They'll always be like, we're always around spiders. And you know, you probably eat a bunch of them every year. And then they spout off some stat about how you eat 8 spiders a year. But it's actually, it has been debunked many times. They tell you that spiders are very unlikely to crawl in a hot orifice that's constantly moving and has saliva and, you know what I mean? Like, whether it's your, mouth or ears or nose.
They're committing suicide.
Yeah.
it's not like we can have spiders live inside us. They, animals are very intelligent in their own little way, where it's like, okay, I know if I do this, it's going to kill me. And if I, don't do that, I'm good to go. Squirrels are the exception, because apparently they think that they're fucking immortal. They can run in front of cars all day long and never die. But, yeah, so I mean, that would kind of disprove my point. But generally speaking, I think animals try not to commit suicide. Like, we don't walk by deers hanging themselves. And
yeah. Yeah. So everybody can rest easy, because that's been debunked. Yeah. They stay far away from something that's hot and wet and dangerous to them, you know, unless they're suicidal. And
stinky, and stinky breath in the middle of the night.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Gravity. So you were going to diverge into a different type of fear?
Oh, so this was one that it's funny, when I talk to people about this one, most people are like, that's so crazy, I would have never thought that about you. But so growing up, I was homeschooled until college. Mm-hmm. In college, I went to a small local community college for the first 2 years, and then transferred off to a bigger school to get my bachelor's degree and everything. So I did not spend a lot of time around people. I enjoyed people my age. Like, I played soccer and stuff like that, so I could interact with other kids. I would say it was pretty much a fear of adults. Ordering food at restaurants, having to talk to an adult, or having to make a phone call mm-hmm. to some place to talk with someone in customer service, mm-hmm. like doing any of those things was just like, no, I'd rather fucking die than or whatever. Like, they can keep my money, I don't care. I don't want to ask them how much it costs, or like, God forbid they ever give me the wrong thing. Like, that's what I'm having the wrong thing, because I would never ever make any kind of confrontation with anybody else.
Guys, just real quick, yeah. Okay? So as I'm talking, Jamie puts this Facebook post in front of my face of this huntsman spider, this thing the size of your head, sitting on this guy's pillow saying, so much for a good night's sleep tight, don't let the bugs bite, as this thing is literally an inch away from its son's face.
That's awesome.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Like, that's, oh my God, yeah, you guys know, like, the vine of like when they're brushing it on the ceiling and then it falls down on his face. Yeah. I like, or like the one where he hits it with the broom and then all the babies just I can't.
You did. No,
yeah, the exploding ones with the babies are crazy. That stuff is makes your skin crawl. I don't care who you are.
I've always wanted a parody of Charlotte's Web, the second one where all the babies start flying away, and then there's just like a helpless farmer in the way, and all the spiders are just like all over him.
Josh, I definitely can relate to that, though. I had pretty much the same experience. My parents would make me answer the phone, like force me to answer the phone, and I'd be like literally deathly afraid of it.
Yes.
I don't know why.
I've always been a pretty outgoing person. I can do that easily.
I mean, I got into the wireless industry, so obviously I got over my fear.
That was the same with me. Like, I talked with people about, I can't remember. I was talking with someone about it the other day, that it was like, this was, the kind of work that I do now, working with, clients. I mean, I've held public speaking training and stuff like that now, that you would never know that I was very quiet, reserved, very big fear of talking with people. Mm-hmm. And even to this day, like, I can still, I can go in any restaurant, mm-hmm. I can call anybody, like, that kind of stuff doesn't bother me. But still, at the same time, I don't like making other people feel uncomfortable. I don't like causing conflict. Mm-hmm. So still, if you bring me the wrong food, I'm probably gonna fucking eat it. Because I don't want to be like, I feel like awkward for them, because I know what it's like to kind of be in that situation and present something to someone and them go, this, I don't like this. And it's like, oh, this is crushing to me, that I feel that for them. Yeah. Like, I take on what they're feeling and wear it on myself.
The only time that I could is when I order a steak and it has to be medium rare. Sure. Okay, the only way to eat a steak.
I could order
and
then a steak,
if they bring me a hamburger,
a pile of broccoli, and I would go, thank you very much. Yeah, have a good day.
No, that's not good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Or when you order asparagus and they just give you stalks. Like, they literally looks like it's something that was ordered off adamandeve.com and they put it on your plate.
Okay. Yeah, definitely relate. I had an incredible fear of of talking on the phone, of speaking in public, of speaking in front of people, like doing class presentations. Oh my gosh, I would be like nervous and clammy and jittery. But then, you know what I did to get over it? So this is like what we were talking about. It's like,
you got laid.
Wait, what? I joined a band and I literally was like, you have to be in front of people. Like you literally have to. There is no way to like play a show without being in front of people. And not only that, I didn't just like join a band. I was just like, oh, you're going to be the lead singer. You're going to play guitar and be the singer. And I was just like, well that's like
not even talking in front of people, singing, which I think singing or dancing in front of people compared to just talking in front of people is a thousand times
worse. Oh, it should be, but it wasn't. Like, you know, that's the thing. And that's what really unlocked everything else. As soon as I started doing that,
because
I was good at, you know, I was good at guitar. I like was very musically inclined. So, you know, I knew that I was good. So that gave me the confidence. But honestly, the biggest thing of where all of those childhood fears of speaking in front of people, talking to people, you know, even talking to, you know, talking to females, that all went away whenever I got contacts. I have like very bad eyesight. Oh, really? I have very bad eyesight. So as a kid, I was always, you know, I was always the kid that looked like Harry Potter. I, you know, had glasses from like the third grade on.
Hey, four.
Yeah, I always made fun of for having glasses, you know, and they were, you know, really thick prescription, and you know, and so I had that going for me like almost all the way to high school. And then like my junior year, or did I stop glasses in my senior year? I don't remember. Either way, it was like, I can't remember if I like graduated without, I think I still had glasses in senior year, but either way, I got contacts, tried out contacts, and literally my entire persona changed. Because I was no longer guy that had bad eyes and I wore glasses. I was like able to, I like changed my haircut and I like was way more confident. So,
yeah. Nice.
So fun fact. Well, first of all, you have no hair. But the movie Princess Diaries is actually based on Jack's high school life.
Big fact.
All right.
I'm so, just imagining like a montage where you get contacts and like you get your hair cut and then you just walk to school feeling so brisk the next day.
Cute 90s montage.
And then all the ladies are like looking over like, who's that? And then Jack just does the finger guns. He's just walking down.
Double finger
guns. With his Swiss messenger bag and his K-Swiss shoes.
Hey, I feel personally attacked. Yeah, right?
I like my messenger bag. Thank you very much.
Did I know you look like that?
Yeah, pretty much. Those all white K-Swiss shoes with a little white like marker that would, if you got a scuff, you could white them out.
Oh, dude, yeah. And then you had, and then you're walking down with your jean shorts and your...
No, I didn't wear jean shorts. I wore orange balloon pants.
Yeah,
you did
exactly.
Not.
And it was Converse for me. I wore Converse.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Did you guys ever watch Beyblade?
Beyblade, no.
So that there was like a at a phase where like for like a week straight, I dressed up as like one of the main characters from that kid show, and I wore like the vest and I got like bicycle gloves, and I wore them with like the fingerless bicycle gloves, and I walked in there and I was like the coolest. Like,
hell yeah! You probably were, dude.
I was lit, bro.
Well, let's that's the thing.
Confidence is what makes you cool. That's all I'm going to say.
That's it. And that's exactly what it was for me. As soon as I got rid of my glasses, I felt confident. And then I just was like, you know, it's like one of those things where like you don't have to be like, oh, well, I'm going to act cool. Like I'm going to pretend that I'm cool. It's like, no, like if I think I'm cool, everybody else thinks I'm cool too. Like I'm cool. And then the second somebody's like, haha, look at him. You're like, What do you want, a loser? And they're like, oh man.
Yeah. I'm just a map. See, I didn't know Jack when he was in high school, so all I can picture his high school life is just his head right now on like a high schooler body and him just walking through there.
No, in high school I was awkward and had a bowl cut and you know.
You did not.
Super nerd.
You guys went through like the stereotypical like bully high school in the 90s, right? That's when like, hey, give me your lunch money, Kundis.
Yeah. Oh no, absolutely. I always, in ninth grade, I had a back, my backpack had my name on it, and so like all the senior guys that would see me walking around, you know, I'm like nerdy kid glasses, and they would see my backpack and like catcall me down the halls.
Yeah,
Kundis,
hey Kundis.
Yeah, exactly.
I was homeschooled. Mm-hmm. I didn't really have to worry about that. Hey, but I mean, I did have braces for 5 years, so I would say Josh. What was it? 1.5 came out at about 17 when I got my braces off. And then after college, since college, I was able to do was build close bonds with a couple other people, but it was still in a very small group that I could try breaking out of my shell a little bit. And then when I got a job where we had to do presentations in front of about 20 to 30 people twice a week, and my boss one day was like, all right, I think you've seen this presentation enough time. You're doing the one today. And I'm like, what? No. And he's like, oh, too bad. And introducing Josh as our speaker today. And it was just, that was it. That was my introduction to it. There was no
prepare for it. Did you guys go to school together?
You either did it.
No, you didn't.
So Josh, how I imagine you growing up. All right. So Jack's there with his bowl cut, his glasses, his striped shirt, and his orange balloon pants with his K-Swiss. And then you two are best friends. But Josh, you were shorter, and you always wore a sleeveless jean jacket, and you had a mullet.
I was like, that's not how that cool back then, though. That's the problem. I wasn't
that's
that
how
cool.
I imagine you as like a kid. Like you had a mullet with like a sleeveless jacket, and you always had like a Scooby-Doo tattoo on your forearm.
No, let's see. So I had the bowl cut as well up until I think I was about 15 or 16 when I stopped cutting my hair and I let my hair grow out to about as long as my shoulders. And then at 17, I shaved it off and had a mohawk.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In ninth or 10th grade, I switched from the bowl cut to the ski slope haircut where you just put a pound of hair gel in your hair and then stick the front all your bangs straight up in the air.
I did that.
Yeah.
I did that.
The Jimmy Neutron.
I did that for the last three years of my high school.
Yeah. Did you guys ever had frosted?
You know where I made up all of my street cred, right? So like as nerdy as I was and as like I'd get made fun of for having glasses and stuff, I erased all of that as soon as I hit 10th grade and was able to play sports.
Yeah.
So as soon as I was able to play sports and I could like, and I was showed off the fact that I wasn't like this nerdy kid, that I was just like schooling all the other people in whether it was hockey or, you know, basketball or whatever, they were like, oh.
So was that the year when like basketball had super short shorts and wore Converse?
No. What do you think this was? The '70s? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're almost 60. So I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm getting up there. Yeah, so before we bring this full circle, right? So we've talked about fears.
Well, I got a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm going to present this, and you let me know where you're going with this. But I'd like to know if you have a suggestion of a fear that you dealt with that you recommend for someone to fight through, that it was the most life-changing thing, that you used to be afraid of it, you went through it, and now you're on the other end and you feel a billion times better, that you would recommend, that even if it is something scary for people, that it's worth it on the other
side.
Yeah,
no, absolutely. I think we already touched on it. Luch, you just need extreme desensitization. I'm just going to come to your house with like boxes of spiders and you're just going to have to deal with them.
Of spiders.
Yeah. And you're just gonna have to deal with them, and then by the time you're done, you're gonna be like, "I'm so."
And then
over
he comes back
right
to
now.
Find me, and I just die from shock.
I come back to find you're just
so,
one big.
Oh my god!
Like, oops.
You guys are Will from Stranger Things.
Wait, what? Will? Why?
That's like how. That's who you were. That's what you looked like.
Yeah. 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 Only imagine him with glasses, and then you got me.
Oh my god, that's perfect.
Yeah.
And then like got a little bit taller because then I would like I hit, you know, 6'2", 6'3", and then like was just a beast at sports. But anyway, to answer your
no, I'm still 5'1".
To answer your question, Josh, yeah, we talked about it already. I think the biggest thing that like changed my life was me overcoming my lack of confidence for public speaking, being outgoing, going from an introvert to an extrovert. And that all took place. Like I said, I say that it took place like when I, you know, got rid of my glasses and went to contacts, and that like really like, you know, jump started the whole thing. But as soon as I joined a band and had to like the realization of like, I was confident before that. So it's like outgoing and was making friends and things like that. But I still had an extreme fear of like speaking in front of people. Like everybody's looking at me, I have to talk or whatever. Mm-hmm. And going from that into just being thrust into the band situation, where it's like, okay, we need a lead singer. You can play guitar and you know, your voice isn't too bad. So it's all you. And we were just like, okay. And I had to do it. And then like we had our first show out of nowhere, like just instantly happened. And then we're just like, all right, here we go. And then I'm, you know, not going to be the guy that's like, I'm kind of scared. I don't really want to do this, you know? And then it's like, it's go time. And so I think that my suggestion is, and most of the time, if you look up, you know, facing your fears and you'd like, you get actual psychology on it, the first thing you have to do is realize them, like actually like know what they are. Like I'm deathly afraid of public speaking, right? And then the next thing that they'll say is, if you're afraid of public speaking, take a public speaking class. Like go and do it.
Oh, force yourself to do it. Yeah. Like, because leaving yourself a way out, it's too easy to just back out. Yeah. No, you got to throw yourself in that pit.
Because then you're in the class. And I mean, and then you could always, you know, cut yourself short and just not go. But the point is that like, if this is something that's holding you back from your life, then face it, take care of it, which again goes back to what I was saying too about like the beach. My fear of sharks and getting eaten, you know, eaten by a shark and drowning, it's strong, but I moved to the beach to be by the water and the sand. And it's like, I'm not going to let my fear of what's in there stop me from going to enjoy something and like taking that away from my life. Right.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the same thing even with, you know, something like I'm saying, public speaking, that could be this extreme daunting thing where like, you know, they say, oh, well, just picture everybody naked or, you know, just get up there and think about something else. And it's like, some of those things are coping mechanisms, but you're not even going to put yourself in that position if you're deathly afraid of it. Like you're not even going to get up in front of people to then try to cope with it. You're just going to avoid it altogether. And whether that's keeping you from a job, whether that's keeping you from an experience, you know, like I said, being in a band or whatever it might be, maybe you could be a really great comedian because you're really funny. All your friends think you're hilarious, but you have an extreme fear of actually like telling those jokes on stage or what, you know, whatever. The possibilities are endless, but I think my biggest tip is whatever you're afraid of, find out what it is, actually like realize it, and then set out on a plan to confront it. Like actually be in front of it. Like, I'm not going to let this stop me from bettering myself or enjoying something that, you know, that could improve my life. Oh, and then if that doesn't work, then you just do the whole, you know, the flooding technique where you just, you know, go throw yourself into a pit of snakes and get over it.
Yeah. Contact us, because after this episode, we're going to start a GoFundMe and we're going to make a company that we are going to help people get over their fears. So if you have a friend that's afraid of spiders, you let us know and we'll send a box of spiders to their house or snakes or alligators. We will scare the crap out of them to the point that they're not afraid anymore. I haven't figured out the name of our company yet, but I like it.
We hear it'll be Hooper Pants. It'll be called We Hear You Fear.
We Hear You Fear. I like it.
And it has so many different meanings. You can just take that all different ways. We hear that you fear. We hear you fear. Like we're actually here and you're scared. So I don't know. Could be a bunch of different things.
Or you fear mind clear.
Right, you'll fear mind clear. All right, so before we wrap, level 17.
Hold on, I want to know Looch's. Does Looch have anything that he feel like that, any fear that you've overcome?
The only thing he said this entire time is that he's scared of spiders. That's the only thing we know.
Yes, well, that's because he's not afraid of anything else. So out of all the things that he's not afraid of anymore, that you've overcome, is there something that you would recommend to people?
I mean, spiders. I mean, like, I was scared of the dark, but like, I literally just shut the door one day.
And I was like hey, "F you, yeah, F you, dark."
And how has that changed your
F
life?
You dark.
Because see, that's what I want to get across to people is I want, you know, this final thing of just basically letting them know this is what it's like on the other side of some of these things that. You know, on the other side of fear,
the only way I will not be scared of spiders is if you guys attach some kind of electrode in my head that implants all the knowledge of every single spider that ever existed or will exist to where if I recognize it, be like, that little guy is harmless.
We're not even talking.
That's called the internet, bro.
Yeah. Well, even with spiders. So spiders, completely different thing. You know, Jax was something that had happened to him when he was younger. It was something that he felt like changed his life in a better. Like for me personally, I would say one of the things I was very afraid to be alone.
When you're alone.
That basically when I started dating, there wasn't more than, I think my maximum was 3 months that I ever went without dating somebody, you know, and you know, like, and that was like full on dating that, like, you know, we're officially boyfriend, girlfriend or whatever. That wasn't like going out on dates or, you know, hanging out with people or anything like that. That was like full on relationships. I never find myself being alone. It was just like, it was terrifying to me to like have to be alone and, you know, feeling, you know, that those feelings of, you know, that no one wants me or I don't, you know, whatever kind of stuff goes running through your head.
Yeah.
But I could say that it's something that I've been working on at just being happy with who I am, being by myself, not being afraid to be alone, but enjoying being alone. And I can tell you, it's been a very eye-opening and interesting thing. Cause like I said, I mean, I'm 33 since I was 17, like, there was never, I mean, for all those years, 16 years, like half my life, I have been in relationships with people, you know, that there was no time to really know myself. Cause I mean, everything pre-17, like what the hell, like, I don't know myself at that point. Yeah. Like I am nowhere near the same person. So now here I am 16 years later from that person. And I'm still kind of figuring out, like, I don't know who I am when I'm alone. Like, I don't know any of that stuff because it's always been influenced by having someone else in my life that, you know, I don't know. I was talking with, I think it was you guys the other, or I think it was, Caleb and Jack. I was talking with you guys about the crazy drama stuff that I see on Facebook sometimes with relationships.
Yeah.
And it's like, these people will go from relationship to relationship and they'll be like, I'm madly in love. And then it's like, this is the worst person in the world. They beat me. And then it's like, I found my new boyfriend and they are amazing. And it's like, oh my God, you just need to be by yourself for like a month. Because these people, it's like they're alone without a boyfriend or a girlfriend for one day and they're losing their freaking minds. And it's like, no, it's okay. Like, I know finding out who you are can be scary, but like that would be my two cents into, like, you know, just slow down, people. Like, it's okay to be alone a little bit. And
I would agree. I would agree with the sentiment of you know, that coming from that perspective. A lot of people think that that it's scary, but it doesn't have to be.
I mean, the whole time that it was like, you know, if I split up with someone for the whole next month, it was always like, well, crap, am I a loser? Why does this person not like me anymore? Or, you know, am I ever going to be in a place where I deserve to be with somebody? Yeah. You know, there's all this like self, you know, crap that you just throw on yourself. That it's like, you don't have to think that way. Like, think about like yourself and what, you know, being alone is. It's okay.
I agree. And before, so again, and thank you for actually pushing to like wrap or come to like a conclusion for anybody that's listening. That's like, so what do I do? What do I do with that? You know, mm-hmm. And I think that's important. before we
go swimming with spiders.
Yeah, go swimming with spiders. Before we wrap up level 17, though, I did want to mention a few. Yeah. So I was looking up phobias, right? Like looking at different things. And again, people yes. could be afraid of everything. There's just so many. Just if there's something, somebody's afraid of it somewhere. Like weird things. Yeah. But there's some interesting ones.
Leg warmers. There's
some interesting ones that I wanted to like throw out there. So nomophobia is anxiety or fear caused by not having a charger for your phone or having service on your phone. So like
I thought it was going to be about long
nerves. No. Yeah, gotcha. Nomophobia. Nomo. Nomophobia. And it's actually believed that over 50% of cell phone users are supposed to have that are affected by nomophobia.
They need to be locked away with no cell phone for like.
No, yeah. So this is actually pretty funny. I hadn't actually thought of this, but when I was smoking, which now I'm clean for a long time mm-hmm. now, that I would not leave the house, or like I always had to have a full pack of cigarettes on me. Like even if I was smoking one or whatever, I always had to have a backup pack ready, because if I ever ran out of that pack, I wanted to make sure that I had one. Yeah. There was never a time that I ran out of, you know, cigarettes or something and got stuck in a crappy situation. It was like, oh, I'm dying. I don't have any cigarettes. You know, like I never got into that kind of thing. So I don't know where that phobia came from, but it was like a OCD type situation where it's like, okay, it's Friday night. We're going out tonight. I'm going to go buy two extra packs. So I wouldn't leave the house without three packs on me that night, because I knew I was going to smoke extra and there were probably going to be people that bumped some from me. And I wanted mm-hmm. to always make sure that night ended, I had cigarettes. That next day I woke up, I had cigarettes. Like, even though I had a car, I had money, I could easily drive to a gas station and get some more. I never wanted to ever be with an empty pack. It was mm-hmm. just a huge, huge fear of mine. So, and I mean, I could understand with even like cell phones and stuff. Like, I try to at least be knowledgeable with mine. If I walk out of the house and it's at 35%, I go, oh crap. I run back inside. I grab my charger because I know I'm probably going to need it.
I don't.
You know, they probably don't tell like what level of fear that people have. Because I doubt anyone's like,
it's just saying that people are
freaking passing out. But no, I understand.
I mean, I think that there are people that have like an extreme fear that like go to extreme lengths, like have backup battery on, backup charger on, you know, Wi-Fi hotspots, so that they will never feel like that they're completely disconnected. But I feel like that's most people. It's like something that's in the back of their mind. They're like, oh man, I gotta charge my phone. You know, and it might be at like 40%. And you're like, no, that can last most of the night. Like you'll be fine. And it's like, no, I have to charge it.
I need it.
Yeah. Please. And then one more that I thought was interesting is called spectrophobia. And again, there's
the fear of glasses. The fear of Spectrum.
No, fear of Spectrum, the internet company. I think I have that. Right. No, but again, there's just so many. There's literally a phobia of everything. But like spectrophobia is a fear of mirrors or the fear of your own reflection. So like seeing yourself in the mirror, or seeing something else in a mirror, right? Like the fear of like, you know, you're at the mirror, you're at your sink, and you dip your head down to like wash your face off, and then you look back up and there's something behind you, or you know, that kind of thing. So the fear of mirrors can be overwhelming for some people. So imagine the different bathrooms, the different houses that are just have like the full mirror walls, and the hotels that have the mirrors on the ceiling, and just like all kinds of weird things. Can you imagine like living with something like that, where you just never want to see your reflection because you're scared of what might be behind
it? I think that'd be the thing. You'd always want to see your reflection, because it better damn be your reflection, not something else.
People that are afraid of their own reflection, like they don't want to see it because they are literally afraid that something else is going to pop up, so they won't even look. You know, which is interesting.
What I love is I saw a Reddit post that was kind of like this, where they had talked about, you know, different fears, and someone was like, what's a fear of chainsaws called? And someone was like, common sense.
Yes.
There's some things that everyone is on the same page with. We'll all say fuck that.
That's funny. Okay, and that about wraps it up. And I do have a final boss for us.
I think we know. Well, we all know what the final boss is.
No. I'm gonna
hold on.
No,
hold on. It's the self-confidence that Josh's tiny knife gave him.
No. You ready? All right. I want complete silence for the final boss. You ready? Here it comes. What is that? Can anybody tell me what that is?
I thought you were slurping for a second. What the hell was that? Is that like a spider?
It's a Minecraft spider.
Well.
Okay, and that right there.
I prefer Josh's false self-confidence.
That right there is the final boss of level 17. Thank you for completing it. And from all of us here at the Bonus Level Podcast, we hope you have a wonderful week.
Don't run into any spiders.